I invite you to turn with me again, once again, to Matthew chapter 13. We've been looking at the parables of the kingdom, these stories that Jesus told to give us illustrations, to give us an idea, a picture into what the kingdom of God is like. But before we get into the picture that Jesus gives you of what the kingdom is like, I'd like to give you a picture of what my life is like and tell you about one of my habits, probably not one of my more proud habits, one of the things I'm really excited about, but something I do. I have an odd fascination with WUSF-TV, with the educational access, the PBS-TV, the Channel 16. We don't have cable. I don't know what it is on cable, but it's like the poor man's Discovery Channel. I love it. I don't know why. Like, even if I'm watching a show that I really like, I'll usually have that on the back and forth button on the remote, and I'm constantly flipping back to that because for some reason I'm really interested in the migration pattern of gray whales and the way that the proliferation of the killer whales has affected the migration pattern of the gray whale. There's something about that that just sucks me in, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I wonder what the oil rigs are going to do when the gray whales come by. Maybe I should watch. But there's something incredibly more interesting on the other channel. I don't care. This might help me. I could be asked this on Jeopardy one day. And I just keep watching it. I don't know why. And the other night, I was watching one of my favorite of these ridiculous educational shows about cooking. I don't really cook that much. But it's this elderly lady, and I think her name is Julia Child. I think it's Julia Child, and she's interesting. I mean, it's like a train wreck. I cannot look away when she's on. It's just, And she was making bread the other week, and it wasn't like she was making like some nice, common, ordinary semolina bread. She was with this other lady making olive bread, and it looked awful. I mean, it looked, because it was made with like those purple olives that you get in Greek salads sometimes. Not the green ones, not the black ones, those awkward purple-shaped olives. And then she was just dumping them in there, and then she was just kneading this dough, and she's like throwing it around and talking about how you're supposed to knead dough one-handed, it's better. So she's just grabbing it and slapping it on the table. Transfixed. I can't look away. This bread looks disgusting, and yet Julia Childs and this woman are making it, and I'm more interested in that than I am in Survivor. I don't know why. Why can't I change the channel? Make it stop. But I was just absolutely transfixed with this show. I cannot explain why. But she was making this bread, and as she was making it, she added yeast, added leaven, and that's this morning what we're going to talk about. We've been talking about the parables of the kingdom. We talked about the different ways that Jesus has illustrated it. We talked about how the kingdom is like the word of God going out, sometimes to great avail, sometimes to no avail, but that is the way that it goes out. We talked about how that not only represents the word of God going out now, but also represents the very way that Jesus taught these parables, that some people get it, some people not so much. We talked about how Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God in a way that it grows up where there are good and there are bad. There are wheat and there are tares. And at the end of this age, he will sort the wheat from the tares. And then we talked about the kingdom of God as a mustard seed. As a seed that is very small, has this inauspicious beginning, and then grows up to be this great shrub. We talked about how the kingdom of God begins in these surprising ways. In ways that we cannot expect the kingdom of God comes. This morning we come to a parable of the leaven that's lumped together, that's kneaded together, if you will, with the parable of the mustard seed. They come one right after another. And sometimes we may have the tendency to put these two together, to say they're doing two sides of the same coin. But Jesus isn't simply repeating himself here with this parable. He's actually adding another nuance to his description of the kingdom, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 33. If you don't have a Bible with you, verse 13 is printed in your bulletin. I'm going to read it for you real quick here as we get started. Jesus, again speaking in the boat as the people sit on the shore. And he told them still another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of dough, a large amount of flour, until it worked all the way through the dough." Simple, short, to the point. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman kneaded into flour until it rose up in the dough. Now, I have to admit, I am no yeast expert. Even after what seemed like an hour and a half of watching Julia Childs make purple olive bread, I still don't know much about it. The only thing I know is, do you remember in the mid-90s, there was this craze of making your own bread? I mean, everybody had one of those countertop bread makers. You know, and every time you went to somebody's house, well, what are we going to bring? Oh, we need to stop and pick something up. No, let's not stop and pick something up. Let's bring fresh baked bread. And you would make this bread and you'd bring it. The only problem was is it was all the same shape. It was all that square shape. And it was way too big for a normal sandwich. I mean, this was huge slices of bread. I mean, you could cut the sandwich in half and eat for days. And we had one of those in our house. And, you know, we used to make bread. And I remember, have to buy these little packets of yeast. And I didn't know what it was. It looked like the rest of the flour to me. I don't know much about yeast, but what I do know from that short experience in the mid-90s with the bread-making craze is that yeast is the stuff that makes the dough rise. Yeast is the same thing as in the Bible, depending on your translation, you often find that yeast is translated leaven. Same thing. Same, only different, right? But what's interesting is that Jesus compares the kingdom to leaven. As we read through Scripture, leaven doesn't get a good rap. Leaven's kind of considered a bad thing in Scripture. You'll remember in the Exodus event, when Moses, was telling the people how to prepare for Passover, what did they have to remove from their house? Every bit of it. Leaven. They had to go through and clean the entire house after they took all the leaven out to make sure that they didn't miss any leaven. All the leaven had to be gone. And you remember during Passover, they always ate unleavened bread. Bread without yeast. Leaven was a sign of sin. It was a sign of badness. We come to Jesus. Jesus gets in the boat at one point after the Pharisees have been mean to him and have tried to trick him. He gets in the boat and they're going across and he tells the Pharisees, beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees. And of course the disciples, in classic disciples form, start talking about, what is he talking about? Did we bring leaven? Were we not supposed to bring leaven? I never heard him talk about leaven before. And Jesus patiently, kindly says, No. I'm not talking about actual leaven. And the disciples, oh, right, not talking about real leaven. And yet leaven was a way that he described the evilness, the badness of all that was Pharisees, that all the Pharisees brought. So Jesus is taking and even spinning what the Bible tells us about leaven on its head, again and again. Leaven is bad in the Exodus. Leaven is used to describe the Pharisees. But Jesus comes to us here in Matthew 13 and uses leaven as a good thing. Uses it as a way to describe his kingdom. As I mentioned before, the mustard seed parable comes right before this. Talks about how the kingdom of God begins in surprising ways. The parable of the leaven that we're going to look at today, that we are looking at, talks about how the kingdom of God permeates everything. The kingdom of God is involved in everything in your life. You notice in the parable it says that in the NIV, which I have and which is in the Pew Bibles in front of you, it says a large amount of flour. If you have perhaps a more literal version, it may say three pecks or three stata. What he's talking about here is actually 39 liters of flour. Can you imagine? The story Jesus tells us, imagine I put up on stage in this area here 22 liters. But instead of filling them with soda, they were filled with flour. Jesus says a woman took all of this dough and probably filled with most of the center of the stage, and she took a pinch of yeast and kneaded it in until the entire thing, all 39 liters of of yeast, I'm sorry, of dough, became leaven. Just a pinch. Just that little bit permeated the entire loaf. It's amazing. How does it do that? I don't know. Looks just like the other flour. I know. Yeast permeated the entire loaf that this woman cooked. So what Jesus is doing is telling us that the nature of the kingdom is like the nature of that yeast. Permeates everything. Just a little bit. Jesus, a relatively unknown person in a corner of the Roman Empire, trains 12 disciples, and it changes the world. The kingdom of God goes through everything. Now, Jesus tells us the story, and what's great about it is this story works on two levels. There are two things that are going on here. One of them is the idea of it's a corporate comfort. This idea of the kingdom of heaven being like leaven is a corporate comfort. It's a comfort to us all. And it's not only a corporate comfort, but it's also a challenge to us as individuals. So let's tease those two out. Let's flesh those out. The parable of the yeast, the parable of the leaven, is really, in one sense, a parable about God. God is the one who is working through this entire dough that is the world, and He is working His kingdom in. And as He works it in, it is going everywhere. It's reaching its tentacles into everything. The kingdom of God, that God is working in this world, affects everything. His truth is marching on. And so when Christ describes His kingdom to us, and He tells us through this parable of the leaven, what He's telling us is that the kingdom of God is affecting everything on this planet. That leads us not to a sense of pessimism that we find rampant, even among evangelicism. This leads us to a sense of optimism. God is working His kingdom into everything. Everything you can imagine is being affected by what God is doing through His kingdom. Therefore, we have no need to fear terrorism. Why? God is working. We have no reason to fear the rise of Islam and the fall of Christianity. Why? Because God is working. God is working, leavening up the entire world. China, where Christianity is outlawed, is experiencing a huge boom of Christianity. It's growing because God is working His leaven through the whole lump of this world. That's a sense of corporate comfort for us, that all of us can take hope, can take peace, that the God of this world, the God who came to this world and died for our sins and rose again, that this God set in motion the change of this world. One of the readings we had during the litany today was that of the curse in the garden. That was read because in one sense what is going on here, what Christ is telling us through this parable of the leaven, is that everything that was cursed, everything that was undone, everything that was made bad by Adam is being made right by Christ. Christ's death not only secures for us our individual redemption, our individual salvation, but Christ's death also begins the leavening process of this world, reversing the curse brought on Adam and Eve. It's getting undone. It's getting undone. This world is working backwards. We've talked before about Narnia, about in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, as winter begins to undo itself. At the cross, this world that was black and bleak with gray snow has begun to thaw. Things are changing. It's warming up. The world is changing from the curse of the garden to the blessing of the kingdom. And God is working that. He's kneading that. Working that dough so that the yeast of His kingdom fills the entire thing. God is doing that on a large basis. But not only is this parable a parable of God working these things out, but it's a parable for us individually. You see, what's so great about the kingdom, what's so great about this parable and our way into the kingdom, is that God calls us His co-laborers. One of the ways that God is kneading and working that dough is through you and I working the dough. It's through you and I being a part of His kingdom. He is giving us the opportunity to allow every part of this gospel, of this good news, of this message of the kingdom to penetrate every part of our lives. And it works itself out. You see, the kingdom of God, the yeast of the kingdom of God, doesn't just affect this world on a grand scale. The kingdom of God should affect us individually, each one of us, in every area of our life. There's not an area of that dough that doesn't rise up after it has been leavened. In the same way, our life should be so affected by Christ, by the message of His death and resurrection, that nothing in our life remains untouched. What He's doing is saying, listen, there is no line between what is sacred and what is secular. There is no line between what is that is far off and that which is close. No, He's saying that everything is holy. That every part of your life is a part of the kingdom. Even those ridiculous things that you don't even think of. Christ is telling us that the way we brush our teeth should be affected by the kingdom. Everything matters. When I used to work for Starbucks, they had this habit of always trying to make sure that everyone knew who the manager on duty was. Because sometimes the shift managers are younger, tattooed, pierced people, and if they look just like the other younger, tattooed, pierced people making your latte, and you're upset because it's half foam when you ordered a cappuccino, you want some sense of this person's different. So one of the things they've experimented with is giving the manager on duty a different colored apron. Sometimes they give them black aprons. For a while, they gave them brown aprons. And so when you complained about your overly foamy latte or your caramel macchiato that didn't taste right, or you said frappuccino, not cappuccino, or whatever it was, the person with the brown apron would come out and help you deal with it and give you the free drink and make sure everything was okay and that you'd had a spectacular time at Starbucks and all that. For a while, these brown aprons that they gave out had a Starbucks logo on them, and then underneath that in gold letters, they had a saying that the company was trying to promote at that time, and it was, everything matter. You see, the company of Starbucks had this philosophy that they were trying to train into their managers, train into even their shift managers, the day-to-day people, that everything that you do when you're at Starbucks matters for this company. The way you count the cash, the way you give change, the way you offer a receipt, everything matters. In the same way that Starbucks was training their people about customer service by saying that everything matters, through this parable of the leaven, of this dough, of this yeast, Christ is telling us that everything, absolutely everything in our life matters, is a part of the kingdom, is a part of what He is doing in our lives. And it may be perhaps the mundane things like brushing our teeth that we kind of laugh at. But in reality, it's true. Christ's kingdom should affect us. Christ's kingdom should affect our marriage. The way that we treat our wives, the way that we treat our husbands is in direct relationship to the kingdom of God. Now, that's something we would normally say is, well, that's kind of spiritual. We'd say also, oh, the way we raise our children. Of course, that's a kingdom issue. But what about the way you do your taxes? The way you allot your money? What Christ is saying is that everything, absolutely everything, the way you watch the Super Bowl, the way you do your dishes matters. Because everything you do needs to be affected by the kingdom. by Christ's law of love. No matter what it is, this law of love that Christ has given us, this law of the kingdom, needs to permeate everything. And so when that guy cuts you off in traffic, we have a kingdom choice before us. When that teenage girl who was talking on her cell phone slams on her brakes and you slam into the back of her and she gets out, you have a kingdom choice. Do you lecture her on the poor uses of cell phone in the car and the bad idea that driving stick shift while eating Taco Bell and talking without a hands-free headset really is? Or do you show her love? When someone at work takes the credit for your idea, you have a kingdom choice. Do you show love? Or do you march into your boss's office and demand the credit for the good idea that you had that should have been accounted to you because you're gunning for that promotion? We have a kingdom choice, a choice of love in front of us. The parable of the mustard seed teaches us that Jesus' kingdom begins in amazing ways. The parable of the leaven, the parable of the yeast, teaches us that the kingdom of God is a part of everything. The entire fabric of our life should be affected, both on a level of the world where God is reversing the curse that Adam and Eve brought, but in our individual lives as well, where we begin to allow the law of love, the law of Christ, to work itself out in all the small ways. Let's pray. God, your truth is marching on. Your kingdom is growing from that small mustard seed of your Son to the greatness that it will be in the future. God, it is permeating everything. Nature. The entire world. And it's permeating our hearts. God, we are not always good at allowing it to be a part of our day-to-day life. God, we fail to love others as ourselves. We fail to love you with our whole heart. God, help each one of us to love you with our whole heart, to be a part of kneading the dough of this world with the yeast of your kingdom. We need your help. We believe in you, God. Help us with our unbelief. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.